Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Scott Burke coming at you with the Clown Hour, brought to you by no one. But anyway, I'm the author of the Clown Town Sports Blog. You can catch me online. Just do a type in for the URL, www.theclowntimes.net. That's clown for K, by the way. And you can find us on Facebook. Just do a search on Facebook for the Clown Times. Again, it's clown spelled with K. You'll be able to find me. This is a continuation for last week's discussion on HBCU sports and as it relates to college football. And last week we're talking to my man Dwayne Nash, author of The Yard, and we're talking about things like the historical significance of HBCUs. Just a brief overview, that is, and we just pretty much skimmed the landscape, if you will, of different conferences and like different HBCU conferences such as the SWAC, the MEAC, Seattle Bay, the SIAC, and others. But anyway, we're going to continue the discussion, and we're going to get into more of the final points concerning HBCU football. And once again, here's Dwayne. So, Dwayne, what's up, my brother? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, no problem, Scott. It's great being back.
Right on. So we left off, you know, we were like covering, you know, all the conferences and the HBCU based conference in college football. We were hitting mentioned before, the setup and all that. So basically, before we get into more stuff, what's your assessment of last week's game? You know, were there any upsets or what have you? How did it all go down?
Well, in my opinion, I actually was focused on two major games. I actually attended the North Carolina Central Howard game at Green Stadium in D.C. And I wasn't expecting it to be as close as it was from Howard's perspective. The game actually ended North Carolina Central 137-28. But that was mainly off of the play offensively by their quarterback, Greg McGee, who has actually been impressing me every year. This is like maybe the second, third year I've actually paid attention to this guy. He's actually a junior. And every year he continues to get better. He keeps reducing the amount of turnovers that he puts out, but he also increases the amount of touchdown passes, and he's a great scrambler as well. But they just couldn't hold it together in terms of special teams. They gave up a block punt, which turned into a touchdown. They gave up a huge punt return, which turned out to be the second longest punt return in North Carolina Central's history. And there was another special teams play that they gave up as well that was pretty big. But the Bison was able to hold on, actually, and try to make an attempt late in the fourth quarter. But they just couldn't move the ball that well. Well, they couldn't hold Central from scoring in late in the second half. The other game that I watched was our beloved Aggies playing against South Carolina State in the Atlanta Football Classic. Caught the tail end of the second half of that, and it was, came away a little disappointed, but everyone else in terms of HBCU football did what they normally do. Tennessee State came away with a big conference win. Bethune-Cookman came away with a big win. Winston-Salem State, again, scored over 50 points when they beat Bowie State last week. So I'll get to that a little bit later. But everyone who's been doing extremely well so far this season, I think the only upset was it Johnson C. Smith, I think it is, who was kind of a surprise for me this past season. Well, there were three surprises, I'm sorry. Johnson C. Smith, who was playing relatively well this season, took a loss last week, if I remember correctly. Stillman, who was also playing pretty well up until last week, took a loss. And the biggest surprise to me was, and this game was actually televised on Bounce TV, Clark Atlanta beat Morehouse in the Battle of the ATL last week. Going into that game last week, Clark was giving up 27 points a game and was only scoring 7. And they beat Morehouse, if I remember correctly, 21-17 in that game.
That's interesting. That's interesting. So you wanted to go into Winston State a little bit. So I see the score here. Damn, they beat them like the Stoughton, 56-21
for Winston State. Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, the question was asked of me last week by one of the major writers down in Winston, John Dale, who writes for the Winston-Salem Journal. He asked me last week, how did I think that Bowie was going to play against Winston-Salem State? And I kind of guaranteed him that, the way that they looked against St. Augs 2 weeks ago, St. Augs, that is, I was kind of guaranteeing that the Rams would score 50 on them and just continue that streak of averaging over 50 points over the last three games.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's it. So Winston State is still tearing it up in the setup.
Yes.
I guess it goes to show that they wouldn't have had any trouble, if any trouble, in the NEAC if they were to move up.
I think some of the lower tier teams in the MEAC would have any trouble with. They would dominate us at this point. Has just been struggling for some time ever since they came into the MEAC, and they just seem to look outmatched. I hope they finally get it together with Ernest Wilson, the new head coach there. But as of right now, it doesn't look to be of any. And I don't see much change right now in that institution in the way that they're playing. But Hampton's not playing relatively well this year. Norfolk State has their moments. Florida A&M, surprisingly, is not playing that well this year. But that would actually be an interesting game. That will be a game I would like to see play this year. That will probably be a gauge of whether or not how well, in my opinion, Winston-Salem State will play in the MEAC. If they were to play, say, like a Florida A&M or, say, like maybe a North Carolina Central right now. But like I said last week, I think one of the things that will worry me about that type of game, it would be considered a rivalry game in the sense of in-state rivalry. And anything goes to me in rivalry games.
Right.
Anybody can beat anybody.
That's true. That is very, very true. It's like it's pretty much like, you know, throughout the records, I mean, in any of the sports for that matter, you know, when you have a big rivalry game. So basically, I mean, I was thinking with Winston State, in a sense, what if, because they dropped the first game against, it was against Pembroke, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And Pembroke is ranked 13th, in the nation. I'm looking at Winston State right now, they're ranked 16th. They're hanging in there. It's just that, I guess it could be a lot worse, right? You know what I'm saying?
Actually,
but, you know, I mean, they're 4-1.
Yeah, I mean, and they're playing out of their minds. It took that Pembroke loss, I think, for them to turn it up a notch and to play the way that they've been playing for the past couple of seasons. But Pembroke actually came into the season undefeated. So I guess that they've been playing extremely well throughout the year as well. Actually coming into this year, I think this was the third time that UNC Pembroke and Winston-Salem State had ever played, and Winston actually beat them the first two times. I was actually thinking that Pembroke would come into this game, probably play them close, because they played them close last year, but would still lose it. But they were playing at home, and a couple of turnovers, a couple of untimely turnovers for the Rams just cost them that game.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. But For those who don't know, UNC Pembroke, the University of North Carolina at Pembroke is a predominantly, well, I should say historically, Native American university in Lumberjacks.
Yes.
And basically, they're 4-0, so they're pretty damn good. They're pretty damn good, so there's no shame in Winston State losing to those boys. But I'm going to move up the ranks a little bit. I'm going to move up a level to the FCS and take a look at the HBCUs represented in the rankings. Bethune-Cookman is 13th in the nation. The 4-1, they're doing their thing in the MEAC. So basically, do you see anybody? I guess we talked about Winston State last week. Could anyone stop Winston State in the CIAA? Could anyone, in your mind, stop stop Bethune-Cookman rather in the MEAC? Is there anyone capable of slowing them now?
The way it's looking right now, and I didn't expect it early on in the season, but it looks like it may be South Carolina State. They are killing North Carolina Central right now. And after what they did to A&T last week, I couldn't even believe that they may have ruined A&T's perfect season.
Mm.
After last week's game against South Carolina State, I think the next four opponents have a total of like 3 wins. No, if the next 5 opponents have a total of 4 wins. Hampton, Florida A&M, Morgan State, Norfolk State, and Virginia University of Lynchburg. And they won't play their next plus 500 team until they play Central as of right now. But, anything can happen within the next couple of weeks, and they may end up being sub 500 then. But, with that loss last week, and they looked rather strong then, and they're looking a whole lot stronger against a North Carolina Central team who I thought would probably threaten Bethune-Cookman as well for the MEAC championship. But it looks like with this loss, the way that they're looking right now in this first half, it's currently 34-3 with about 35 seconds left in the second quarter.
Yeah,
are you serious? I am extremely serious. Yes. And Central just got the field goal about maybe 3 minutes ago. And wow, are they kicking some kind of just kicked the onside kick?
What is the coach thinking he is? Like Sean Payton? What is he thinking?
Probably. I mean, they just scored a touchdown to make it 34-3, and they just kicked an onside kick. And they're playing in Durham right now. This is extremely disrespectful.
that's the equivalent of like walking in the door of someone's house, not using the welcome mat, putting their stinky shoes on the coffee table, and checking out his wife. That's what they're doing to Houston Central right now.
It's like they're checking out their wife and sister right about now, and just being disrespectful about it. I mean, you're being personal about it, too, while you're sitting right there and you're absolutely saying nothing. This is turning out to be a lot worse than what I thought it was. Jordan Reed, who is the quarterback for Central, who I actually like. I kind of disagree with another sports writer about his ranking as of right now as a quarterback in HBCU schools, but I like him. He has a nice arm. He scrambles as well, gives you that double threat of passing and running, but I don't see him being better than Greg McGee out of Howard. I think that McGee has a better arm, and statistically he's better. And, I mean, even when they went head-to-head last week, McGee had better numbers, even though Central came out on top. But, they seem to be driving now, so maybe they just might go into the half with at least another field goal. Yeah, they're bringing out the field goal unit now, and they actually have a pretty good kicker for Central. He actually hit a 48-yarder last week that I didn't think he was going to make. He actually nailed it with enough leg to probably hit a 55-yarder.
Mm.
So, yeah,
so basically,
this guy,
I guess
pretty good.
Central's, I guess this is a more of a typical to Central score. Adding another 3 points to be down 34-6, I imagine going to half. Oh, my God. You know what?
So, yeah, he just
– I want to
– Oh, he missed it.
Oh, you missed it. Oh, shit. Well, there
he
you
missed
go.
It, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I want to see. I would like to see the post game handshake. I want to see the post game handshake. Because I'll tell you this. I don't know how you feel about this, and I'm getting a little off subject here for a minute, but I'm going to bring it back. I don't have a problem with people running up the score if you can't stop them. You know, the object of the game is to stop the other guy from scoring, right? The other team from scoring. If you can't do it, then to hell with it. I mean, you got to take your lumps. You got to be responsible. But that's just me. I don't mind teams where people running the score on other people. That's just me. But at any rate, then again, I do the same thing in Madden, so I want to score this.
it doesn't count with Madden. You can run up the score as high as you want. It doesn't even matter.
Exactly. So I would sound like a bit of a hypocrite if I said otherwise, but it's all good. So let's see. So basically, we touched upon that. Let me just go hit another subject in the HBCU realm, and that's the Sheridan Black College Football Poll. Okay.
Okay,
not many people know about this poll except for guys like me and you and a lot of others, a host of others who want to know in HBCU college football. So tell the audience the significance of the Sheridan Broadcast Network poll, what it is, and the history with it, if you can, and just go from there.
Okay, I kind of have a cloudy memory about the Sheridan poll. If I remember correctly, it's only been done for like the past maybe almost 30 years, maybe 86. Mm-hmm. And of course, what they do is, I think they have a bunch of other media outlets rank these teams throughout the year. If I remember correctly, it's both FCS and Division II. And at the end of the year, the team that ends up ranked number one ends up becoming the national black champion of college football. Mm-hmm. There are other polls as well. The Heritage Sports Radio Network, they do two, actually. They do one where they have their poll, and they have a coaches poll as well. And then, if I remember correctly, there is a fourth poll. It's the Sheridan, HSRN does two. And I'm trying to remember who does that fourth one. I'm thinking it may be Oneidan. I could be incorrect about that. But, yeah, there are four. But in terms of the one that's really recognized as the National Black Champion, it's just the Sheridan poll. And then, of course, the HSRN holds a little weight as well.
Okay.
But I'm actually concocting a little theory, and I think this is the first time it's actually going to be said, this week, because I think they normally do it. When do they normally do it for FCS in terms of the BCS point system?
They normally start the BCS, I think, after the sixth week of the season, after week six or seven. About the halfway mark,
So I guess I'm going to wait until next week then. I mean, the equation's out there, so I was going to actually do the same equation and do it with black college sports and see how that matches up. Son of a statistician, you know, I got numbers in my head.
Right.
I can figure out things rather quickly. It's going to be rather interesting to see if it actually equates out to be similar to HSRN and for Sheridan, but I will be posting it on my website once week seven starts, just to see if everything matches up.
Cool. Now, just right quick off the top of your head, you know, I know you're thinking about the numbers right now. Off the top of your head, who would be number one in your poll right now? If someone put a gun.
Wow. Number one in my poll would probably be the same team that's number one in everyone else's poll, which would probably be Bethune-Cookman. They've beaten a relatively tough Tennessee State, who looks extremely well right now. And I think that's the only loss that Tennessee State has. And they've just been beaten up on everyone else with the exception of Florida State. But, of course, that's to be expected.
Right.
But I really don't see them losing to anyone else throughout the rest of the year. But that game against South Carolina State on the 26th of October will be an important one.
Yes. Yes, yes. Now, I noticed in the Sheridan poll right now, South Carolina State is ranked third, and, of course, Bethune-Cookman is ranked number one. And the aforementioned Tennessee State Tigers is ranked number two. So it looks like to me, the MEAC, one could say the MEAC is like the SEC of black college football conferences.
As of right now, I would agree, And they kind of have been throughout the past maybe 15 years, but you go before that. I mean, the way that Grambling and Southern have played and have been completely dominant throughout that time, it seemed as if nobody could do any wrong coming out of that conference. But it seems like right now, Alabama State's playing relatively well. Southern's playing okay. But what's that?
I said Jackson State is playing pretty well.
Oh, yeah, Jackson State is playing out of their minds, and they have a pretty tough one coming up this week as well. But outside of that, everybody else, Grambling has been horrible for the past couple of years. with the firing of Doug Williams, like I said last week, they're scrambling right now to find a new head coach. Southern seems to be doing okay with their current coach and Dawson Odom after getting rid of Peterson and Mitchell. Five of their coaches are basically coaches that have been within the SWAC for 3 years or less. So there's been a lot of turnover within that conference, and they're still trying to find that glory that they once had. But as of right now, maybe Jackson State would compete well against a MEAC, or would compete well against, say, maybe a Bethune-Cookman or South Carolina State, or maybe even A&T. I think they will probably, as much as I would hate to say it, I think they will probably squeak one out against A&T. But I would love to see Jackson State play against a Bethune-Cookman or, say, a South Carolina State.
Now, I mentioned the MEAC earlier, and I mentioned the teams out of the SWAC. I think the SWAC will probably have something to say about my last comment about the MEAC being like the SEC of the black college football conferences, because they do have – because the SWAC does have a hell of a lot of tradition and good teams to boot. We see it every year, at least on ESPNU.
I mean, even outside of that, if you talk about, like we were saying earlier, with the Sheridan polls and the history of that poll, SWAC teams have dominated. I mean, Grambling and Southern, like I said earlier, Southern has played well in the 80s and 90s, but Grambling has run away with that title. They have like 14 national black titles overall, and you know, you may hear a little bit of noise from South Carolina State, and Florida A&M has a history of playing well as well. But traditionally, the SWAC has been the conference up until the past 10, 15 years. Actually, I would say the past 10 years, actually. Yeah, 15.
Right.
About 95, 96 is starting to make that change.
Damn. Yeah. So when you I know we'll both have it up in 95, but basically, what in your mind caused the pendulum to swing from the SWAC to the MEAC during that time?
That's an interesting question. My guess is that a lot of these guys that are transferring over, the play of the MEAC as of recently has been attractive to a lot of these guys. Be it undergrads or transfers, to make them want to come in the level of competition to these schools outside of South Carolina State and Florida A&M, who are traditionally great. Schools like Norfolk State that have won a title, Hampton has done well or extremely well in the late 90s to early 2000s. I guess just these guys, they've just done better recruiting. And these guys just want to come over to the MEAC as of right now to play for these schools. But I'm just trying to figure out if the tide will ever change back. That's another question as well. The SWAC just has a history, current history right now, of just not being that great overall athletically. I don't know, but if you caught the article, there was an article that came out a year or two where the SWAC was listed as the worst basketball conference out of everyone in D1 basketball for men.
I can believe that. I can believe that.
Yeah, and you know it's kind of sad to see that, but I'm just happy that they did what they did in Southern against Gonzaga last year to have that that close of a game against a number one seed. I had no idea that game was going to turn out the way that it did. It would have been fantastic if they could have walked away with a W, though.
Now that was something. I do remember that game. I mean, because, you know, Southern, I believe, played in one of the playing games, if I'm not mistaken, last year, this past year. And they of course, you know, obviously won that game. And I was, like, looking at the score throughout that Gonzaga game. I was like, what the hell? I mean, I'm like, could I be witnessing a 16-1 before my very eyes? And, of course, in the end, they couldn't pull out, but. I was just thinking, was Southern really that good, or was Gonzaga that playing that bad, or was a combination of both? I mean, it was just crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah, I'm just mad that I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I was actually following it on my ESPN app the whole time and just listening to all the tweets ringing in at the same time as the game was being played. And I'm going to say it was a combination of both. Southern playing completely out of their mind, and maybe Gonzaga not believing that Southern was just that good. But, I mean, that's one of the things that, in my opinion, helps HBCUs. And one of the things that helped Norfolk State the year before, I don't like to toot my own horn, but I kind of called that game. I thought that Norfolk State would beat Missouri. I try to tell people that, and a lot of people had no idea of Kyle O'Quinn at the time, unless you just followed me at basketball. I've been telling people all year long that Kyle O'Quinn, who is now with the Orlando Magic, has been playing extremely well, not just against MEAC competition, but against guys outside of the conference. And if he has a phenomenal game and the guard play sticks up with Missouri, which is extremely possible, they would win.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. I mean, he had a huge game. I think he had like 34-16, and the guards played extremely well, and they had that upset.
Yeah, 34-16, that's putting in work, man.
I guess
other D1 competition, that's putting in work.
Exactly, and he played like that all year long. I saw him in the early part of the year playing in these out-of-the-country tournaments, like in Puerto Rico. I think it was either Puerto Rico or Hawaii where they had a tournament that they went to and watched him play against other D1 squads. And he played extremely well, and that's how he became a second-round draft pick in the NBA draft that year.
Now, what's his name again so I can follow this kid? What's his name again?
Kyle O'Quinn.
Kyle O'Quinn. Okay, I got to follow this kid. So... thanks a lot for the heads up with that. I got to check it out. Now, that's one reason to watch Orlando Magic basketball, at least pay attention to it. So,
Well, you would like him for another reason as well, because he's a New Yorker.
Well, there you go. Got to represent HBCU and the Empire State. I love that. I love them already. Before I let you go, with the mystical, quote-unquote, mystical national championship, obviously, you know, if you were to ask these kids, they'd probably be more concerned with, obviously, the NCAA championship. But do you think a lot of kids know or even – I don't want to say care, but even have a sense of awareness about the Sheridan polls and what the importance it has in terms of history and everything else?
I don't know if they know about the history, and I'm guessing maybe only the guys that are in institutions that are currently ranked may know. I don't know if a lot of these guys who aren't ranked in the poll know about this poll, know about the importance of the poll, and know the history behind it, and also what it represents to the African-American community, especially when it comes to our college sports.
Sure, sure. And so I think it's neat, you know, because, you know, like I said, you know, growing up around, you know, I grew up in North Carolina, you know, spent most of my, like, young adulthood in North Carolina. So, you know, I have this, we, like most of us would, have a sense of history in regards to Sherrod and Polo, what those are, and everything else, and the quote-unquote mythical black championship, black national championship team. Another thing. So what games, you alluded to some games earlier that we should keep an eye on this weekend, but just to sum it up, what games should we be on the lookout for this weekend? Like, what are the big games, the must-see TVs, if you will, matchups?
Wow, I can't remember who it is that Jackson State plays, but if listeners can find out whoever it is that Jackson State's going to play, whoever it is that Alabama State's going to play, you're going to want to watch, for Alabama State, Isaiah Crowell. I think I talked about him last week. You're going to want to watch this guy. He's a Georgia transfer. He's playing extremely out of his mind right now in terms of rushing the ball. I think he's like top five in yards gained per game as a running back. So if you get a chance, you may want to watch this guy. Jackson State, whoever they're playing, you want to watch them play. You want to see, well, I want to see, if A&T rebounds this week against, I think they have Hampton this week.
Okay.
Who else? You want to see exactly, we'll try to follow whoever it is. But Winston-Salem State will be playing in their rivalry game against Johnson C. Smith this weekend. It's going to be Winston's homecoming.
Wow.
I'm going to follow it just to see if Winston scores 50. Again.
Again.
A lot of people from Johnson C. Smith are telling me that it's not going to happen. A lot of Ram alumni are telling me that, yes, it will happen. So I just want to see if that actually happens. Bounce TV has a game on this weekend. If I remember correctly, it's going to be the Morehouse Tuskegee Classic that's coming up weekend as well. I can't remember the airtime. But check with Bounce TV. They will have the listing for this Saturday. I know most definitely they will be airing that game this weekend. ESPNU will have another game on this Saturday at 10:30. I can't remember who that's going to be. I'm thinking that may be a SWAC match. No, that's going to be us. No, because I'm trying to say playing now. I can't remember who they're going to air on Saturday as well, but... I'm trying to think, SEAC, who's playing SEAC this week? Well, I just said Morehouse and Tuskegee. I can't remember who else has a big game this week. But, just look for all the top schools most definitely just to see what they're doing and see if they can stay where they are currently ranked in their respective polls.
All right, I lied when I said I had two more things to ask. I got one more question. What's the name of your website and what's the URL so that people can find and check you out?
Okay, the website is theyard-hbcu.com.
Okay.
Check out comprehensive information that comes in every day for every sport. You can follow me on Twitter. That's theyard-hbcu. That's all one word. I'm also on Facebook. Catch out the updates there as well.
Great. Hey, man, I appreciate you coming in, manning up, and doing the damn thing again and continuing this HBCU football discussion. I enjoyed it. I appreciate the HBCU sports anyway, but I appreciate you coming on to tell them and educate the folks about it. And I'll be back on after the BCS like polls come out for the first time so you can tell me your summer polls for the HBCU schools. How does that sound?
Most definitely. And I will most definitely announce it. It'll be everywhere, Facebook, Twitter. It'll be on the website so everyone will know so they can see and compare against the other polls.
You got it. And thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it, Dwayne.
No problem. Thank you, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Peace out. All right, cool. Hey. Dallas, my man, Dwayne Nash, breaking some, like dropping some knowledge on us regarding HBCUs and everything. I have fun with that. I hope you all find it fun and educational as well. A little, what you call infotainment, informational and educational and fun with the entertainment. But anyway, like I said, we're going to have that for you in probably a couple of weeks, as well as my own discussion, my own group discussion with the BCS in terms of like where the team should look and what the BCS got a right or wrong or what have you. That's coming in a couple of weeks as well. So until then, it's Scott Brooks about to sign off with the Clown Hour. Take care. 06, and I'm out. Good night.